Millions of us have smartphones that are loaded with a lot of applications to do a lot of different things. But within these applications are other things that I think we need to discuss. Applications that allow you to have guided visualizations, that can have meditations and also help you find centeredness and all these other New Age philosophies. What's happening right now in our world is that there's a new wave of New Age philosophy just sweeping throughout the country and sweeping throughout the world. And we're going to be talking about that in just a few moments with my returning guest co-host and contributor today, Marsha Montenegro. She is from Christian Answers for the New Age, which is a ministry that is geared toward helping you as Christians discover the New Age subtleties that have crept its way into the church and also into the world. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, and when we come back, we'll be talking to Marsha and the rise of the digital guru.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Today we're talking about Rise of the Digital Guru with my guest co-host and contributor today, Marsha Montenegro. Again, like I said before the break, Marsha is from the ministry called Christian Answers for the New Age. And for those of you who follow us, you know Marsha has been on the show a number of times. I always appreciate her insight, especially as we see the new wave of New Age thought coming through the masses yet again. And I think there's a reason for that. In a post-truth society where truth doesn't matter as long as I feel good, then these philosophies run rampant. And what starts to happen is that you're looking for something to make sense to yourself, and the only thing that makes sense to you is that I want to feel good about whatever I'm doing. I'm not concerned about whether it's right or wrong. I just want to feel good. But then that starts to play havoc on you as a person when you see injustices done to other people. And then when you see injustice done to other people, you say, well, that shouldn't be, do you say that shouldn't be happening because it doesn't feel right, or do you say that shouldn't be happening because it's wrong? One of the biggies of our time right now is the Me Too movement and the rise of sexual allegations and accusations against different people of high station, low station, wherever you're at. And so we look at this Me Too movement and say it is wrong to sexually violate someone. We say that unequivocally. But if you follow New Age theology and New Age philosophy, is it really wrong? Because there really isn't any definition of right or wrong. It's what makes you feel good. And there's a lot of nuances involved with the New Age theology, which is why I think this stuff is rising. But we keep getting jarred by the uninhibited truth that there is such a thing as right and wrong. But that's another subject for another time. With me today to talk about this rise of the guru, of the digital guru, is my returning guest, co-host, and contributor today, Marsha Montenegro. Marsha, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great, Jennifer. Thank you so much for having me on again.
I'm so glad you're here with me because, as you know, we've talked privately. You know, this New Age thing has hit close to home now with a few friends of mine. And what's happening is that they're trying to balance out the energies. They're trying to balance out bad energy versus good energy. And so by balancing out, they try to make sure they don't do one thing or they don't put this into their atmosphere and stuff like that. And as I was watching this particular person do it, I started to see what was happening. What's starting to happen is that they're isolating themselves. Because the only way to keep yourself centered, the only way to keep yourself in this good place, wherever that place is for you, you have to kind of isolate yourself. Now, I'm not talking about isolate yourself from people. I'm not talking about that particularly. But what you do is kind of enclose yourself in this nice little bubble where you're centered
right.
based off your energy. And so it's these types of things that the digital apps, like the ones that give you guided meditation, guided visualizations, that help to promote this isolation. And so we wanted to definitely talk about the rise of the digital guru because of these things, because now you don't have to go off to a commune to meet some yogi. You can just do it in the comfort of your own home. So let's talk about that for a minute, Marsha. But before we do that, let's get your background real quick for our new listeners who are joining us today. Tell us about your background and why this is such a deep and important topic for you.
Okay, sure. Yes, I was involved in what is called the New Age for a good 20 years. And depending on where you start the time, I was involved because I was actually interested in astrology and other religions in high school. And then that just gradually developed over time until I became very actively involved and I was a professional astrologer, president of the Astrological Society. I had another office as well that had to do with preparing the exam that would allow astrologers to be licensed in the city of Atlanta. And I was totally involved in this worldview, the New Age worldview, believing God is sort of an energy, a source of energy we all come from. Jesus is an evolved spiritual master. And that we all have a divine essence within us. And I also believed in reincarnation. Eventually, the Lord led me out of that. My story is on my website, ChristianAnswersForTheNewAge.org. And so it's there if people are interested. And I've also given it on several radio shows. And when the Lord brought me out of that, eventually, people started asking me to give my story or to speak on New Age topics, and that eventually led to full-time ministry. I was doing it part-time for a few years. That led to full-time ministry in 1998. I actually serve technically as a missionary. My mission agency is Fellowship International Mission, which is in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I live in the Washington, D.C. area, and I've been operating that way for, it's hard to believe, 20 years. So the time really flies. And I have continued, of course, to be reading about the New Age and keeping up with it, but now from the other side, from, you know, being a Christian with a ministry dealing with it. So I have been tracking it, and I can say with 100% certainty that what's happened is that the New Age is basically mainstreaming. And because of that, because it is mainstreaming and it more or less maybe blends with a lot of different areas in the culture with mainstream areas, it's not as easily recognized. And so a lot of people actually think the New Age is passé, when in fact it's mainstreaming. So it's really the opposite of what a lot of people think. It can be very subtle and the way that language is used. And it's not that there's a concerted effort. It's not like there's a little group of people in a locked room somewhere who are deciding how to infiltrate society with New Age ideas. It is just the nature. It is the nature of the New Age matching the nature of man, which is to seek new things, new truths, new pieces of information, new ideas. The New Age seems to offer that, and the New Age always, always, always appears beneficial and helpful. It never appears harmful or evil. And so this is one reason that it's really growing.
I want to read something, Marcia, and I want you to comment on this because we've talked about this on prior shows on the Parker J. Cole Show. And I actually found this article today by a blogger by the name of Linda Kimball, and she wrote an article called The Yogic Christ and the Terrifying Demonic Reality of Yoga. And so she's talking about yoga, but she says something in here that I think will help, you know, start off our conversation here. So it's a little long here. But I'm going to just read it because I think you would agree with some of the things that she's saying here. In her article, she says, the heart of ancient mystery traditions is in the great lie of Genesis 3. Emanating from the heart are four central presuppositions. Monism. There is no creator-creature distinction or distinctions between good, evil, male, female, past and present, immutability and change. Nor is there eternal separation of saved and lost. Thus, all men are gods in process of evolution. From this, it follows that all separations, example, male from female, light from dark, and oppositions, such as good and evil, are illusionary manifestations of the one divine substance, occult reality. All objects, plants, planets, rivers, trees, and individuals are parts or aspects of the all-inclusive divine one substance. And then the other presupposition, I'm not going to read all four of them, but the other presupposition is this. Man is inwardly divine, one with God in essence. Since there is only one substance or energy field and men are emanations of it, then man owns consciousness, then man's own consciousness provides a specific connecting link. In experiencing this occultic reality via meditation, yoga, and other occult techniques, man experiences oneness with the divine. And so this is from the article, The Yoga Christ and a Terrifying Demonic Reality of Yoga, on Patriots and Liberty website, Linda Kimball. She gave me permission to read that today. And I thought how very apt she she hit it on the nail. Because what's happening is that once you have a post-truth society, then whatever you want to do is pretty much is up for grabs. And so if you want to feel a certain way about things, then go ahead and feel that way. So now you don't have to even go to a yogi because what starts to happen, and I say yogi, I hope that's not offensive to somebody, but that's the only thing that comes to mind when you go to some yogi up in the commune, you don't want to necessarily be swayed by that yogi because you want to have your own school of thought. So now you can pick up your phone and you can do guided meditations. Now, although the guided meditations are put in by somebody, because someone's putting them in the phone, you're still able to do this in the comfort of your own home. You could do it at work while you on your lunch break, whatever. So you have your phone, which connects you to the world, to the internet, and you're doing guided meditations, trying to do breathing exercises, visualizations, mindfulness, centeredness. All these things are happening at the touch of a button on your phone. So that's why I call this episode Rise of the Digital Guru, because now this digital guru is controlling your thoughts about where you want to be in this new age philosophy. Go ahead and expand on that for us, Marcia.
Yes, I would like to. You made a lot of good points, and I love the title that you that you gave this program, The Rise of the Digital Guru. I think that's really good because, yes, a lot of people won't go off and find a guru. You know, they would just completely laugh at the idea. No, I don't need to go find some kind of guru. But yet, that's what they're doing when they connect to these apps. In fact, Headspace was started by a Zen Buddhist, and I've posted on these app visualizations and meditations several times, and I may repost one after today's show. It was started by a Zen Buddhist. They're based on the principles of Eastern / New Age meditation. And probably this would be a good point to explain the word meditation as we're using it on this program, because there's a lot of confusion with that word. Meditation in our secular post-truth society and in the New Age are techniques that are based on Eastern forms of meditation, Hindu and Buddhist. Mainly types of meditation which is a technique where you usually sit still. Sometimes they say have the lights dimmed. Usually you close your eyes, you breathe slowly, or you breathe a certain way. There are different breathing techniques you can do. And then depending on the type of meditation, it may be to just sit there and listen to your breathing or count your breaths and kind of let your mind stop thinking, which is really the idea in Buddhist meditation. Or you may focus on a certain thing and or repeat certain words in a more Hindu-type meditation. So these apps are based on those principles. Biblical meditation has nothing to do with that at all. I mean, there's not even one little tiny point that's similar. Biblical meditation is pondering and reflecting on God's word, on who God is, on who Jesus is. It's pondering truths from scripture, and you're actively using your mind. You're not using a technique. You don't have to breathe a certain way. You don't have to be sitting still. It's completely different. You know, really a better word would be would maybe be reflecting on scripture. Mm-hmm. So now with all these apps, they're very appealing because people feel stressed. They feel rushed. They may be doing a lot and they're just tired and frustrated, and these apps seem very appealing. And so they go to these apps, which tell them either how to meditate, or many of them are guided visualizations or guided imagery, guided meditations. And what these are, it's when someone else is guiding you through the meditation technique. Now, if it's guided visualization or guided imagery, they're doing this by telling you to imagine or see something in your mind. And this could be one of many, many things. It could be see yourself floating down a river in a boat, and you're going past different things on the shore, and you're getting very relaxed. It could be going down an elevator, and you're down the second floor and then the third floor and the fourth floor. And these are actually hypnosis techniques. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is that you're allowing yourself to be mildly hypnotized. There is a small number of the population that cannot be hypnotized. And at the other end, there's a small percentage of people who are easily hypnotized. And most of us are in the middle. We can be hypnotized, but it's not necessarily real quick and fast, like within 10 or 15 seconds. But yeah. it happens for most of us if we're putting ourselves under that influence. And so listening to these guided visualizations is doing that. I've listened to a number of them. There are also a number of these online that are like the ones on the phone apps. And I have listened to some of them, and that is what's happening. It is putting you in this hypnotic state. Now, when you're in that state, your mind is very suggestible because your critical thinking skills are suspended. They are not working. And you're very, very open to whatever you hear, whatever may come into your mind, whatever ideas may crop up. And it can be very relaxing. This usually for most people, this feels very, very relaxing. And so it becomes addictive. And so you do one of these guided visualizations or meditations and you feel relaxed. You think, oh, you know, that was so good. I feel so refreshed. And so then you decide, you know, I'm going to do this every day. I'm going to sign up for this. A lot of them have you sign up. And you can be reminded at a certain time, you know, to do this meditation. And you basically become addicted to it. But your mind is becoming, over time, more and more suggestible to ideas that you normally would not entertain. And so not only is this affecting you when you're doing it, but it's helping to open you up to ideas you might not have considered before doing these meditations. And that's where a real danger lies. I mean, your worldview actually can change over time if you do these meditations long enough and often enough. I did, of course, several types of meditations when I was in the New Age. I did some Hindu meditations. I did a meditation on the chakras from a group called Inner Light Consciousness, only they didn't tell us it was a meditation on the chakras, which are the supposed seven energy centers of the body. And you come across that term in yoga and now in a lot of alternative, so-called alternative healing. The chakras actually do not exist, but there's meditations on them. And then I got into Buddhism, Tibetan Buddhism for a while, and I did a Tibetan Buddhist meditation that included a chant of Om Mani Padme Hum, which is a Tibetan Buddhist chant, and I think it's also a Hindu chant. And then I got into Zen Buddhism where I did mindfulness. Now, combining all the years I did this was at least 14 years. So I did a lot of meditation, and I was pretty faithful about doing it almost every day. And, of course, other things were influencing me, but I can tell you the experience of those meditations does affect you, and it does change your thinking about things. And here people are not realizing that, because one of the dangers is that you don't notice that you're being affected, because it's very gradual and very subtle. And how would you know? You know, how would you suddenly know, hey, you know, that meditation's affecting me? You don't. You know, the only way you see it affecting you is it makes me feel relaxed, or now I feel more peaceful, or now I feel more spiritual, or whatever the case may be. So that's one of the dangers.
Mm-hmm. What makes it interesting about this is that, you know, you've been doing this now for a long time now, 20 years, kind of go like, oh my gosh. when did that happen?
Yeah, exactly.
When did 20 years of this happen, you know?
And I know.
People have gotten upset with you for what you do, Marcia. People have gotten mad, especially fellow Christians, because you're giving them information they don't necessarily want to hear, because, like you said, it's not like the yoga made you feel bad. You know, actually, one time you said on one of your shows, you said it was actually very addictive. You said it was very addictive to get into a meditative state and feel a certain way and feel relaxed. But you said over time, just a subtle shift changed. And I know for my friend that I was telling you about when we were talking in private, for my friend, I can tell listening to them, I said, they're going off a deep end here, and there's nothing I can really do, because, you know, some people are just gung-ho for the, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do, and you shut up, you know, okay, fine. And so It's okay for you to say, for you to tell me that, but if I tell you that you should be, you know, whatever. Another subject for another time. But anyway, and so what I remember, one of the things he talked about, we could talk about this really quickly, is the law of attraction. And there are a lot of Christians who believe in the law of attraction, that, you know, you cause your own fate. And then I said, well, if that's the case, if you cause your own fate, then what's God here for? If I can use that very loosely. You know what I'm saying, Marcia?
Yeah.
If you cause your own fate, then what God is used for? But in, like, the article I read earlier, she said basically that, because of this philosophy, man is inwardly divine, one with God in essence. And so because of that, in this article that Linda allowed me to share, because you believe that you can really control everything around you. And so one person goes, well, you have to be careful what you say, because that can happen to you. Be careful how you talk like this. Be careful you don't say this. Be careful you don't do that. And so what you're actually doing is living in a state of fear. And the Bible says we do not have a spirit of fear. So which is it? Either you have to be careful what you say in fear. You're not saying that. You're saying, I'm going to think positive. But no, you're talking in fear. Or you say, I'm going to trust God that no matter what happens, he'll lead me through it. What can you make your hope on? And so when it comes to the rise of digital guru, as some of my Christian brothers and sisters, I know right now you have an app like this on your phone right now. I don't. For one thing, I met Marcia at a very critical time for me. And so for me, anytime I have these kind of questions, I go to Marcia and I ask her about them. And she was the one who helped me really put some things into perspective. That's why I always am excited to have you on the show. But I know some of you have it, and you're like, but Parker, you're looking, Marcia, listen to me. Listen, I'm not believing that I'm going to be one with God. The Lord is my Savior. You honestly believe that, and that's fine. Let's talk to them for a minute, Marcia. Let's talk to them, because we're not saying that your salvation – well, I don't think we're saying that your salvation is at risk, but you're allowing an influence to come into your life that is not of God. If I'm saying it wrong, Marcia, please, please, please correct me.
No, I mean, I agree. I think, first of all, Christians can be deceived, and a lot of Christians seem to think they can't be because they say, well, I have the Holy Spirit. Well, yes, all believers in Jesus are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But yet we have in the New Testament warning after warning about false teachers. Some parts of the New Testament were written just to address that issue. The whole book of Galatians is written about the Judaizers who were coming into the church with false teachings. Parts of Colossians address some of the early forms of Gnosticism that were in the church. Parts of 1 John address it. 1 Corinthians certainly addresses the false apostles. Paul even says, you know, I'm afraid you're going to be ensnared, you know, as Eve was in the garden by the serpent. And he's talking to believers. He's talking to Christians. And these books and passages I've referred to are addressing Christians. So we know that Christians can be deceived. So that's the first thing we need to be aware of. And actually, you know, that's a humbling truth. We need to be aware that our own pride or our own willingness to be deceived can lead us into deception. And it's humbling because we don't want to think that. You know, I don't want to think that I can be deceived. You know, that's not something I want to dwell on.
Yeah.
But I can. I have to admit that I can be deceived. So we need discernment. The Bible tells us to be discerning. We are to discern between, we are to test the spirits, we're to abhor evil, cling to what is good. This means we have to use judgment and we have to use discernment. And what is that based on? It's based on God's word. So we have to really be familiar with the truth of God's word and know his word in order to do this. Now, I think the Holy Spirit guides us in that. I've had many Christians say to me, well, you know, I heard this person talking about this and this and this, and I just had this check in my spirit. You know, I didn't know why it was wrong, but I knew it was wrong. And it's because this person has allowed themselves to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and they're willing, you know, they're willing to think, wait a minute, maybe this isn't a good thing. So, you know, that happens too. But yeah, the problem is that you can be deceived and you can be under an influence that is evil. Now, I do not believe a Christian can lose their salvation, and I do not believe a Christian can be indwelt by demons. I think there is no biblical support for that. But those are other topics. But based on that, you can still say that a Christian can damage their walk with the Lord. They can damage their love of the Lord. What I've seen with some Christians who fall for some of these deceptions is that they begin to lose their desire to read the Bible, or they begin to lose their desire to pray or to go to church. And I think part of that is because they know, some part of them knows that they would be convicted that what they're doing is wrong. And they don't want that. So they avoid God's word, or they avoid church, because that's going to convict them that what they're doing is not right. So if you do that, then you just kind of wander away from the Lord and you start relying on other things for advice or for wisdom, or you start relying on yourself and you start determining on your own what's good and what's bad. And, I mean, then you're adrift, you know. You're a Christian adrift, and you're not anchored in Christ because you've opened the door to these other ideas. And these concepts, New Age concepts, can be very, very subtle. And actually, some people even try to Christianize them so that they make them sound Christian. And that's another danger as well.
You know, Marcia, we're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more about the rise of the digital guru. And one of the things we're going to talk about is why you should be worried about this digital guru. And it's going to come from a place you don't think it should come from. If you want to weigh in on a topic, you know you always can by calling in at 929-477-1965. Press 1 to be live on air, and we'll take your question or your comment. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then AuthorShout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at AuthorShout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by AuthorShout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, we are talking to Marcia Montenegro. She is the person I go to for everything when it comes to the New Age. She's also the head of the ministry, Christian Answers for the New Age. And Marcia, we're talking today about the rise of the digital guru. And one thing why you need to be concerned about the rise of the digital guru is that it's going to affect a set of humanity that is easily impressionable and easily influenced, and that is our kids. Most of us have children, nephews, grandkids, who know more about technology than we do. We go, hey, make it work, and they can do some kind of trick with the tablet or do some kind of trick with the phone, and it works, you know. You just give it to them.
Yeah.
Like, they come out the womb with, like, a phone attached to them. And, like, we're all like, we're so close to the board, guys, you know. If I can say that, we're so close to the board from Star Trek. It's scary. But, you know, they come out knowing how to work with technology. And why you should be concerned is the effect that it has on our children, because now they're introducing these ideas at younger and younger ages. And so what I want to do, and before I let Marcia speak about that, I want to tell you about her book called Spellbound, The Paranormal Seduction of Today's Kids. Now, here's what's very interesting about this book. This book was published back in 2013. It was published back in 2013. It's a newer edition that was published back in 2013, but it's been out for a while. And that was, what, maybe 7-8 years ago, more than that, I think, Marcia.
And yeah, these, 2006.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is, what, 2006, 18, 12 years. And we are still dealing with the same issues that she mentioned back in 2006. That's why this is so important for you to understand. This thing is not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. It's not like it's going to go away. And one thing I've noticed as I was getting ready for the show is that this New Age thing comes in waves. As long as I've been cognizant of things, like it hit the 60s, and then it hit in the 80s, then it hit now. So it's like it comes in waves, like this New Age thing comes in waves, because more and more people become seduced by the tantalizing secrets of the New Age philosophy. And so her book, Spellbound, The Paranormal Seduction of Today's Kids, is very important for you. So I will hope you pick up a copy of that book as well. Some people disagree with Marcia's thoughts about a lot of things. That's okay. But what she's trying to do is give you information, not from something she heard about, but from something she knows. And I bet, Marsha, from someone who has been in the New Age, you can see it. Like, you can't unsee it once you see it. I remember for myself, I got into a show that I wrote about called, just to show my example, Marsha, it was called Rick and Morty.
Okay.
And it's a show based off of nihilism. Okay, the whole show is nihilistic. That's the whole premise behind it. Basically, nothing matters. It's just all nihilistic teachings. And what happened is that I actually enjoyed watching the show. It's not for kids by any means. It's an adult show, you know. But as you watch the show, you start to realize that the undercurrent theme is that people are not important. People do not matter. We're just blips in space. We don't have anyone who cares. There's no God. This is a cartoon, okay? This is a cartoon that is telling us all this, okay? Now, it's an adult cartoon, but how many people actually watch it? Their kids are watching nowadays? They put them in front of TV and that's it, right? And so as I was watching this show, all of a sudden I began to sense the nihilism coming out the show, and then I started to see it all over the place in our media. We continue to teach that we're not important. We're infections. I mean, who's getting ready to see the big Godzilla movie? What do they say? We're infection. Man is the infection. If you saw The Predator, man doesn't have long to be here. All this nihilistic thought is coming through. And so I can't unsee it. Once you become aware of it, you can't unsee it. In the same way, Marsha sees the New Age and she can't unsee it. It is
right.
God has given her this task to inform us. Whether or not you want to hear it, she's here to inform us. And there are some times where it's going to hurt because you're going to lose friends who don't want to hear what you have to say. But I've often thought, if this show saves one person from going into that lifestyle, one person, it was worth it. And so I want you to talk about how the digital guru can affect our children, and then talk about what your book talks about in Spellbound, the paranormal seduction of today's kids.
Okay, sure. And I think that's a really good point that you brought up about children's vulnerability, because, yes, they are so much better with computers and smartphones than a lot of adults, because they're born into it. And, you know, I've seen little children, not even 3 years old, playing with a smartphone or some kind of or a tablet, you know, and they know more than I do probably.
Right.
So this is just kind of becoming second nature to them. So it's very easy for children, and certainly older children are even more capable of this, of finding things online or finding things on a smartphone. And they are coming out and have been for a few years with meditations and guided visualizations for children. There has been a lot of material on that introducing, this is how you help your child go to sleep at night. In fact, I think I did a post on that several years ago. And the idea of this was you do it by reading this book that's really a guided visualization for the child. Well, now, of course, you can just find an app and play it for the child or tell the child to use it. And you've got children who are going to become so used to this, they become desensitized to the idea that putting, you know, somebody else's ideas and voice into their mind is wrong, because they become so used to it that that seems like a normal thing. Whereas certainly 20, 30 years ago, it would have seemed kind of alien to most people to have someone telling them to relax and breathe a certain way and then see certain images in their mind. It would have just seemed like an alien thing, you know, like, what are you doing, you know? But now it's become so accepted in society. And what I've noticed that a lot of things that become accepted in the adult culture then go to the children. It's immediately passed down to the younger generations. And that's what's happened with the guided visualizations and guided imagery. So now it's not seen as a bad thing at all. And yet these parents who allow it, if they know about it, do not realize that their children are being hypnotized. And here again, since they're more vulnerable and their brains are less mature, and many of them, especially those under age 12, have not developed critical thinking skills, they do not have the ability to assess this. They don't have the ability to be able to tell if this is a good or bad thing. So they're just going to accept it if it makes them feel good or makes them relax or makes them calm. they're just going to accept it. And so this, of course, is a danger. And I, what my book pointed out was the entertainment, how the entertainment culture in this country promotes occult concepts to children. That's the major theme of the book, based on Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12, which is a description of all occult practices. And I spend the first one of the first chapters on analyzing the words in that passage and how we see those practices today, because the methods may change, but the concepts don't, and the practices are still the same today as they were way back in the Old Testament days, you know, going back to maybe, you know, 2000, 3000, 4000 BC. So children are vulnerable to this entertainment market, and they more or less accept these concepts, especially when the concepts are made to seem good or helpful. So, you know, having psychic powers can be seen as a good thing based on certain television programs. Witchcraft is a benevolent activity because it embraces the environment and wants the good for the environment. It's feminist oriented. All these concepts are popular concepts in the culture that are accepted. So these different kinds of games, video games for a long time have often had characters, good characters who use occult practices in the game to get an advantage over their enemy or whatever. So the enemy may be using bad magic, but the, you know, the good character is using good magic, or they're using their powers for good. So this kind, well, this was, of course, in Harry Potter. This concept of using your power for good is nothing more or less than what's called white witchcraft. But white witchcraft doesn't really exist. In God's eyes, the practice of the occult is always wrong. It doesn't matter whether you think you're using it for good or not. And that's pretty much kind of the idea. You could put that idea into this guided meditation and guided visualization. It seems to have a good purpose, and it makes some people feel good, so how could it be a bad thing? And that goes back to what I said at the beginning, which is that the New Age always appears beneficial and helpful. And it never appears to have anything negative about it. You have to be discerning. You have to dig. You have to investigate. And you have to use the standard of God's word. Even to a secular person, you can say, do you really want someone messing with your mind? Because that's what's going on here. Somebody's messing with your mind. Or do you want someone to mess with your child's mind? Do you want somebody to manipulate your child's mind and implant certain images in the child's mind? And there's another danger I haven't mentioned, Jennifer, that I really want to bring up, and that is that these kind of meditations and guided visualizations are one of the primary ways that one becomes acquainted with a spirit guide. Now, you don't have to be wanting to do this. It can just happen. I have talked to people where this happened. They were doing meditations and they, quote unquote, encountered some kind of being who was very friendly. They felt, and they may have seen this being as an angel, for example. Oh, this is my guardian angel, you know, who wants to help me. This is very common. Children sometimes are told in these guided meditations, they're told that they can meet a special friend, and the friend will, they can always talk to this friend. Even if they don't want to talk to their parents, they can tell their problems to this friend. And in relation to this, this goes right along with it, is the idea of spirit animals. And I was kind of shocked about a year or two ago when I discovered that there's a lot of videos online from children's programs that promote spirit animals for children. Mm-hmm. Now, what is a spirit animal? Spirit animal is the idea that there's this kind of ethereal animal. It's not a real animal in this lifetime, but it's, or on this plane of existence, but it's sort of out there, and it's your guide. And, you know, your animal might be a horse, it might be an owl, it might be a bear, you know, whatever. It could be any animal. And there are, I did a post of this on this, actually, and I watched several videos online from different children's shows, and I can't remember the shows now, but they actually had programs where the characters find their spirit animal. And apparently this is something actually done in some schools. And, you know, people think this is a fun thing. There's nothing fun about this at all, because the spirit animal is the same as a spirit guide. And who are these spirit guides? These spirit guides are fallen angels. Mm-hmm. They aren't good angels. And, I mean, a spirit is an angel. So if you're encountering a spirit being, you are encountering an angel. You're not encountering an alien, a dead person, an ascended master, or some other kind of being that you want to consider. You're encountering an angel. And the only kind of angel you're going to encounter through these techniques is a fallen angel. And the fallen angel can look like a nice, beautiful angel. The fallen angel can look like a unicorn or a bear or a parrot or whatever the spirit animal may be. Now, I actually went on a quest for my spirit animal when I was in the New Age. So, I mean, I even have a personal experience with this myself. I was on a retreat with a group of neo-pagan witches. I'm not sure they use the term witch for themselves, but they were a witchcraft type coven. Mm-hmm. And they were, the leader was into Native American spirituality and supposedly had been trained for 8 years by Native American. Now, whether that was true or not, I don't know, but that was the story. Mm-hmm. And so we were told if we wanted to find our spirit animal, that we would get up at dawn the next morning and go to the little campfire circle. And so I was one of maybe five or six people who did this. And the leader was there, and he led us in a guided visualization exercise. So that makes our minds open and vulnerable. And then he told us to go out in the woods and just let, you know, our higher self or inner self or whatever a term he used, you know, guide us. And we would find our spirit animal. It would be revealed to us. So I went off into the woods, and I'm walking around, and nothing's happening. I mean, I don't feel drawn to the water. We were near a river, because he said, well, maybe your spirit animal is a fish, and then you might be drawn to the river. I wasn't drawn to the river. I wasn't drawn to anything. I just felt kind of like nothing was happening. So I went back to the campfire, and I told him, and I said, well, you know, I went out there, and I just didn't feel anything. I didn't feel drawn to anything. And he said, well, you're just thinking too much. He said, you're thinking too much. He said, you're not going with this inner, you know, this inner truth or inner guide that should take you to the answer. He said, just go back out there. He said, go back out and just, you know, don't think. So I thought, okay. So I went out and I wandered and I found myself by this big tree and this poem. Now, I write poetry. This poem came to me spontaneously, I actually said it out loud. And I don't remember the exact words, but it was something like Father Sky, Mother Earth, you know, the totem animal give birth. I don't remember. It actually, I think, rhymed, but it was the words that just came to me. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I said them aloud, I heard this loud caw from a crow that had landed in the branch of the tree that I was standing against. And it was very, very loud. And I looked up and I saw it way up there. And I was like, oh, that's it. The crow is my totem or my spirit animal. And then it flew off with a big flourish. I mean, it was a very loud bird, and it flew off mm-hmm. very noisily, as if, and that to me, of course, confirmed that this was my totem animal. And I was so mm-hmm. excited, you know, and I went back, and the other people had come back, and we all shared our experience and what our totem animal was. And then he told each of us what our totem animal, what it meant, what the meaning of it was. So I actually had an experience with this, and as you can see from that, it seemed to happen almost supernaturally. Mm-hmm. And it was the kind of thing that as a New Ager, I would interpret through my New Age filter. Because in the New Age filter, when certain things happen, you interpret them as messages. You know, you interpret unrelated things. You don't interpret them as coincidences. You give a meaning to them. So me saying the poem and leaning against the tree and then the crow landing in the tree wasn't a coincidence to me. It was the answer that I was mm-hmm. seeking. And anyway, so I already had a spirit guide at that point, a main spirit guide, but then it was very exciting to me to have this, you know, the crow as my spirit animal. But this is very concerning to me that they are introducing this idea to children, and it seems more kid-friendly because it's an animal. It's not a person.
Yeah.
And, you know, so therefore, how could that be harmful? Well, this is just a little imaginary game or an imaginary animal or something fun for children to think about. What's their spirit animal? And this is basically introducing children spirit guide. And I think a child could have this without being aware for many years, possibly, that they actually have a spirit guide, and then be possibly led by this. I do think that if you have a spirit guide, you are definitely influenced by the spirit guide.
Interestingly enough, as you were sharing your examples, you kind of look back on them like, you know, thank the Lord you freed me from that, you know, because one
right.
thing about the New Age that I've learned just in talking with a friend of mine is that it's never absolute, and God gives us absolutes, and we
right.
do not understand how valuable it is to say something is wrong and how valuable it is to say something is right. There's value in that because it gives you a clear place to think. You know, you have boundaries, and
right.
boundaries are meant to protect us. I was having a fascinating conversation with a gentleman because he wanted me to watch the trailer to The Nun, and they were talking about The Conjuring and all that kind of stuff. Now, I have to back up several things. I have to back up and say several things, Marcia. I don't like dolls, okay? I'm scared of dolls. I saw a doll movie when I was a kid. It scarred me for life, okay? So I don't like dolls. Okay, and then terrified of bears. So if I ever saw, quote-unquote, a spirit bear, I am flying so many directions. It's never worked for me. I'm terrified of bears. I'm scared it's going to happen from a bear, you know. But we were talking about these things, and then, of course, we started talking about the spirits. And he said how he saw things, and he was trying to show me a picture of a ghost that he caught on camera. And for the life of me, I could not see it. I could not. I was trying, like, I wanted to see this. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to see this ghost. I could not see this ghost. And then when he pointed to it and did some kind of trick with it, I said, okay, maybe I see something, but I'm not quite sure. Okay. And I'm still not. I just kind of let it go because I didn't want to argue and get into, see, it's right there. You know, I'm not trying to get on. So I don't get on that. But, you know, but I told him, I said, do you ever think that the reason why we don't have access to certain things is to protect us? I said, because a lot of these people, when they have these encounters, especially people who have been on the show before, who have been in the occultic, it's terrifying, some of the things they've experienced. They're not good things, okay?
Right,
they experience
right.
terrifying things. I said, do you think that maybe it's to protect us from these things? Because I said, if we could probably see what is going on in spiritual warfare, if we could see it, we would probably run for the hills screaming. I think we would. We'd probably run for the hills screaming. And I remember being aware of something, how the spirit, things that happen in the spirit can affect us in the physical, in the sense of, like, unforgiveness, bitterness, that kind of stuff can affect us spiritually, you know, and it affects
yeah.
our hearts and stuff. And I'll never forget, and I've shared this before on the show, that one time during a period of my marriage with my husband, I had deep rage against him, just this deep rage, and was rage. When I mean rage, it was mad because he was acting up. And so what happened, I had this deep rage, and I didn't know I had it. Mind you, I was still going to church. I was still doing my, you know, stuff I'm supposed to be doing. Everything else was, this rage was with me. And then all of a sudden it had, I don't know what happened to this day. I don't know what kind of caused it. But I remember the Lord said, you have unrepentant sin. The Lord told me that. And I said, but he's the one who's the problem. You know, I'm thinking, you're the problem. It's not me. He's the problem. You know?
Of course. Of course.
It's not me. What are you talking about? Me. And I realized that the rage was the sin. You know, do you know what I'm saying? Like, the rage was the sin. And mind you, he was just oblivious can be. And I was just, you know, but what happened, I asked the Lord to forgive me. I promise you, Marcia, I promise you, I felt something like the sensation of something crack over my heart. That was a sensation. I'm saying, you know, it was a sensation of something cracking. That's the only way I could describe it. And literally, I felt as if I was about to float into the air. And I remember praising God, and I remember saying, Lord, thank you, and praising him, and it got off me like that. That monkey got off me. You know what I mean? I didn't even know I had a monkey on me because, mind you, I was still doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I had this rage against my husband, you know, for months. Went on for months, you know. And so then I had to go apologize to him, and then we had to go on the fast and all this other kind of stuff, all this other stuff we had to do, and stuff like that. Well, didn't have to do, but desired to do, I should say. And so when you have that, and that's just being in the spirit with the Lord, you know what I'm saying? I can't imagine not having the Lord to correct me and then dealing with sin and dealing with all that and then having some false spirit tell you things that won't help you out. You know what I'm saying? If that makes sense, Marcia, you know. And so the rise of the digital guru, we're here to tell you that it's happening and that you need to be made aware of it. So one thing, let's give some people some practical tips. We get ready to close our show out for today. What are some practical tips that you can give us, Marcia, along with discernment and being close to the Lord to protect us from this very subtle influence of the enemy? What are some practical tips you can give us to protect ourselves from the digital guru?
Okay, sure. I, of course, would say the very first thing would be to remember that God's word is our spiritual food. And we can't know truth without knowing God's word. We need God's word over and over again to feed us spiritually and to give us the concepts that we need, the biblical concepts and principles that we use to judge what we encounter. And that is very essential. So the better we know God's word, the more we read it, the more equipped we are when we encounter these kind of things, subtle influences from the New Age in our culture, or if we come across them, they could be introduced to us at work, you know, in the workplace. They could be introduced through a healthcare practitioner. However it comes across, we need to be able to discern, and we have to know God's word. Then, of course, I think prayer for discernment can't hurt. Ask to be discerning. Be humble enough to recognize that we need discernment and that we can be deceived. Assess anything that sounds good. Anything that is being offered that seems to be, it may seem very benevolent and harmless, but if it has anything to do with affecting your mind or your thinking, you need to rethink that because it's probably not a good thing. Whenever anyone tells you not to think, or that your mind is the problem or your thinking is the problem, you have too many thoughts, you have, you know, chatter in your mind. This is now becoming more common to hear. That is all false. Our mind and our thoughts are not chatter. The reason that we can think and be rational is part of the way we're made in the image of God. So we need to remember that our mind is a gift and that thinking is a gift. It's a good thing. It's never a bad thing. So it's fine to use reason to assess these things. Use God's word. Be disciplined in your use of your smartphone and your computer. When you want relaxation, I personally, you know, I like to read certain psalms. There's a lot of psalms I find very comforting. or relaxing, if you want to use that word. And I don't know if I know any more practical tips. One is, of course, if you're a parent, you need to really monitor your child's use of computer or if they have a smartphone. And if the child's old enough, you need to let them know about these apps, these meditation apps, and spirit animal stuff. And you need to make your child aware of that and keep that from your child.
You know, I want you to also speak really quickly to our Christian brothers and sisters who are caught up in this. And I'm going to read from Galatians because you mentioned that Galatians is all about talking about this. I'm going to read from Galatians real quick, King James Version, not because I'm a KJV onlier, because I just prefer the lyrical prose. Okay? All right.
Yeah.
In Galatians 1:6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I seek yet to please men, if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's in Galatians 6 through 12. And I think that's vital when we talk to our Christian brothers and sisters who are caught up in yoga. And mind you, I understand why you do it. I understand you may feel better. I understand you feel like this helps me get through the day. You know, I love the Lord. He is my king. I am not knocking that. Neither is Marcia, for that matter. But one thing Marcia said, I'm going to have her reiterate, is this. It can interfere with your walk with Christ, because now what starts to happen as you're doing the yoga, the meditation, the visualization, you are having a technique interfere with the grace of God and his guidance and his truth. All of a sudden,
right,
you're saying, well, God is not enough. And that's what I was saying earlier,
right,
in the broadcast. I said, either when it comes to the law of attraction, because everyone's so popular with that, either we control our fates or we don't. Either God is the one we put our faith in or we don't. It is that black and white. And we don't like black and white. We don't like it. We do understand that we are creatures made in sin, not made in sin, but born in sin. I understand that. So we want to talk about grace, but that's for another subject. But either we do it or we control our life or we don't. And because of that, if we trust in the Lord, then we're going to say, you know what, God's will be done, not mine. Or if it's going to be our will, then we don't have to trust God for anything because we can make our
right
own stuff. And this
right
is important. That's why I read that to you. That's why Paul was so, he was like, he said this for a reason. It's because if they're teaching something different, then it's not true. And that is the key here. It is not true. So, Mark,
right,
go ahead and bring it all together. If I said something wrong, correct me. Bring it all together.
No, I agree with you. And it's interesting, in that passage you read, Paul says it twice. If someone brings
mm-hmm
another gospel, let him be accursed. And he says it again, like right after that. That's very important, because in the Bible, a repetition is an emphasis. And so it's very important to understand deception can be subtle, and we need to be on our toes. We shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be paranoid. I'm not saying that, but we need to be on our toes mentally and biblically speaking, because of the culture, you know, the worldly culture is under the influence of the enemy. And so these false ideas are going to be coming out of the culture all the time, and it's going to be around us all the time. And so there's never going to be a time, like you said earlier, where it's going to get better or there's going to be less of this. No, there's actually going to be more of it, and there has been more. I've watched it, you know, since I became a Christian. And so we just have to be aware. We have to be discerning. And we have to put our trust in the Lord. I think what you said was very important. Either we trust the Lord or we don't. If we trust him, we trust him in all ways, in everything. And we have to look to his word, and we have to look to we have to look to biblical principles, which we won't know unless we know God's word, as to how to live our life and evaluate things. So I don't know. I'm reiterating what I said before, but I think that's what you wanted me to do. So that was it.
You did fine, Marsha. You did fine. And that's why I just wanted to reiterate, because with the rise of digital guru, you're not even there to see your daughter or your son go off to a commune somewhere.
Right.
They're commuting
right
in your house. Right under your your wife, right there. She could be, you're asleep, and she's up there with her phone, sitting cross-legged on the bed, looking off in the space, seeing bears. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, this is the reality of it. So that's why we want to talk about the rise of digital guru, want to give you the truth. And we're hoping that in your clear pool of water, we're throwing stones in your water. And I hope those stones turn into a raging thunderstorm that shakes you from that. Because you know what? Life with Christ is so much better than anything the New Age can ever give you. Life with Christ
Amen.
Gives you clarity. It gives you absolutes. It gives you boundaries. And you know what? You're never alone. You're never alone. You know, in John 14, he says that he was bringing the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Then he says this, neither let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I just messed up the paraphrase there, but he said, don't let your heart be troubled, don't let it be afraid. And there's a reason for that, because with the New Age, you eventually start to live in fear. Because if you're not giving out the right energy, if you're not saying the right things, if you're not being positive, all of a sudden things can go wrong, because guess what? You're not all-powerful. That's one thing the New Age would bring out, that you're not all-powerful. All of a sudden, you're not the god of your fate like you think you are, because you got to balance. You got to balance. But if I could say, you know what? I'm going to trust in the Lord, the one who created everything, I'll be fine. That's something you can bank on.
Right.
All right, Marsha, thank you so, so very much for joining us for the show. You know, I always, always enjoy having you, and I cannot wait to have you back and have you back soon.
Well, me neither.
So
I can't wait
one,
either. You too. Thanks again, Jennifer. Thanks.
And we were talking today to Marsha Montenegro. She is the head of Christian Answers for the New Age. You can go to ChristianAnswersForTheNewAge.org and go to her website. Dozens and dozens of articles for you to talk about. Follow her on Facebook, our Facebook page. She's very interactive there. Make sure you get a chance to know Marsha. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the show. I'm so happy you're here with me today, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.